Right now, in a pitch-black, freezing factory in Munich, there are 5,000 humanoid robots just silently building luxury cars.
Yeah, it really sounds like a scene straight out of a sci-fi film.
Totally. The heating is off, the lights are off, and yet perfect vehicles are rolling off the assembly line 24 hours a day.
Right.
And the wildest part to me is that these robots weren't, like, programmed with traditional code.
Yeah.
They were taking natural language orders, just like you would give to a human coworker.
Well, we are looking at a stack of sources today that confirm this is our actual current reality. We're analyzing this massive synchronized leap in hardware and software architecture that just occurred across multiple industries simultaneously.
Exactly. And our mission in this deep dive is to basically connect the dots between six massive breakthroughs that just hit the wire.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
It is. I mean, we are talking about processing data with light instead of electricity, the absolute death of smartphone apps as we know them, video game consoles with neural brains, satellite internet beaming a gigabit straight to your regular phone, those humanoid robots taking over factories, and a revolution in battery chemistry that fixes the fundamental limits of energy storage.
When you look at these developments in isolation, they're impressive, sure. But when you synthesize them, you realize the fundamental rules of technology, the actual physics of how our digital world operates, have been rewritten almost overnight.
Right. And I know when you hear all this dropping at once, it can feel completely overwhelming. But that's why we're here.
Exactly.
If you were listening to this on your commute or, you know, while you're making coffee, our goal today is to decode exactly how this new technological matrix is going to change your daily life.
Because it will change everything.
So let's unpack this by starting at the foundation, like the physical hardware. Because before we can have all this mind-bending artificial intelligence, we need the chips to actually run it. And Moore's Law has essentially hit a brick wall, right?
It has, yeah. I mean, we shrank transistors down to the 2-nanometer limit, but then we just collided with thermodynamics. Traditional chips like NVIDIA's B200 generate an astonishing amount of heat.
Because of the physical wiring.
Right. When you push billions of electrons through copper wiring, it creates physical friction. Data centers today aren't just servers anymore. They are massive furnaces.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, AI studios are burning through 40% of their total power budgets just to run the liquid cooling systems required to keep these facilities from physically melting down.
That's insane. Think about how hot your own laptop gets when you just have too many browser tabs open.
Mm.
Now multiply that by 100 million.
Exactly. But this brings us to Intel's new Lumina architecture, which is the first of our sources today. They've introduced the first commercial data center scale silicon photonics chip.
Wait, silicon photonics?
Yeah. They are completely ditching the electrons and replacing them with microscopic lasers. So photons, light.
Okay, so they're literally using light to process data.
The physics of why this matters is fascinating. Unlike electrons, photons have zero rest mass. They also don't cause electromagnetic interference with each other when they cross paths.
Right.
That means you can transfer data at the literal speed of light with almost infinite bandwidth. And because there is no friction, there is zero heat generated in transit.
So it's like, try to picture this. It's like we've been forcing massive, heavy transport trucks, the electrons, down a crowded, deteriorating highway, creating massive friction, traffic jams, and road wear.
That's a good way to look at it.
And suddenly, we just replace that highway with a teleportation network. It handles infinite cargo instantly, and there's zero friction.
That is a perfect analogy. And Intel achieved this through a process called co-package optics. They integrated the optical transceivers directly onto the silicon substrate itself.
Oh, so right on the chip.
Yes. Instead of copper wires, they use nanoscale optical waveguides to move terabytes of data in mere milliseconds. In the past, the biggest bottleneck for training large language models was memory bandwidth, the physical traffic jam of getting data from the memory to the processor.
And Lumina just bypasses that entirely.
Exactly. Intel claims a 90% power reduction for internal data center communications. Erasing that 40% cooling tax is what makes the next generation of artificial intelligence physically possible.
Did we just save Moore's Law, or did we invent a completely new one?
I'd say we invented a completely new one. The electrons were old and tired for these intense processing loads.
Right. So if our data centers are suddenly teleporting data instantly without generating heat, that completely breaks the bottleneck for our personal devices. The phone in your pocket no longer needs to do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Which means the software itself can mutate into something entirely different.
And that leads directly to OpenAI's newly announced OS One. I mean, look at your phone right now. Think about how much time you waste just navigating between these isolated islands of apps.
It's a lot. The graphical user interface with its icons, windows, and standalone apps really hasn't fundamentally changed since 1984. We as users have always had to learn the machine's language.
Right, like memorizing which sequence of icons to tap to get something done.
Exactly. OS One changes that paradigm by introducing what they call an intent-based operating system. There are no apps installed. None at all.
Wait, no apps. Let me give you the example from the sources, because this completely reframes how we use devices.
Please do.
Say you want to go on a trip. You tell your device, book a flight to Dubai for the weekend, get me a hotel near the Burj Khalifa, pay with my corporate card, and email the itinerary to my manager. Today, think about what you have to do to make that happen. You are opening an airline app, searching dates, opening a hotel app, switching back to check the flight times, opening a banking app, and then dropping it all into an email. You're the one doing all the coordination.
You're doing the heavy lifting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But with OS One, you don't open anything. Autonomous agents negotiate directly via APIs with the airline, the hotel, and the bank in the background. It just generates a temporary micro UI on your screen to show you the final ticket. You hit confirm, and it instantly destroys that user interface.
We are shifting from tool-driven computing, where you operate the machinery, to goal-driven computing, where you simply state your intent.
Which is wild.
It really is. The core of OS One is a large multimodal model connected directly to the device's neural processing unit. It uses a mechanism called reinforcement learning for environment control.
Okay, stop right there. What does that mean in plain English?
It means the system constantly maps your preferences based on your past actions and environmental context. If you always book aisle seats or you prefer boutique hotels over chains, it learns those parameters without you having to manually input them into a profile.
Oh, wow. So it just learns your habits over time.
Yes. Over time, it becomes a digital twin of the user. It anticipates the friction points in your day and resolves them before you even ask.
But wait, if there are no apps to download, what happens to the App Store? Because Apple and Google take a 30% cut of everything right now.
This is an absolute revolution in the attention economy. Without apps, the traditional ecosystem of in-app advertising and granular data collection completely collapses.
Oh, business model breaks.
Exactly. The 30% App Store tax becomes obsolete. Investors are closely watching how legacy tech giants will respond to an operating system that bypasses their primary revenue models.
Wow. So software is moving from mathematical, static tools to intent-based AI that just predicts what we want. That completely changes how digital environments are built, especially for entertainment.
Absolutely.
Which means we have to talk about that massive leak regarding the PlayStation 6.
The architecture documents that surfaced on Discord and Reddit reveal a fascinating shift. Traditionally, when a new console generation launches, the manufacturer relies on brute force. They just double the raw graphics processing power.
Right, just more teraflops for better graphics.
But Sony took a different route. They soldered a massive, dedicated 100 TFLOPS neural processing unit directly onto the main chip.
Hold on, I have to push back here. A console is designed to render graphics. Why bolt a massive AI brain to it? If the machine is constantly improvising, wouldn't a game just break? I mean, game developers are notorious control freaks, right?
They are.
So why would they surrender that control to an AI?
Because linear, pre-scripted entertainment has hit a physical limit. In older game engines, like the Havoc engine, calculating the physics of a collapsing building or rippling water required intense mathematical computation for every single polygon.
Which eats up a lot of processing power.
Exactly. It puts a paralyzing load on the central processor. Task one for this new NPU is neural physics. Instead of running the math for every piece of falling debris, the AI is trained to instantly predict the physical behavior of objects in real time.
Oh, so just guesses how it should look based on training.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
It reduces the CPU load by 80%. Developers aren't giving up control of the story. They're outsourcing the physics simulation to neural inference.
Oh, I see. So it's like moving from a highly choreographed puppet show, where the developer has to mathematically pull a string for every single movement, to hiring a theater troupe that just intuitively understands the rules of gravity and lighting and improvises the natural reactions based on what the player does.
That is the perfect analogy. And task two for the NPU is running PSSR V3. By rewriting their upscaling algorithms to utilize neural inference, the console can simulate full path tracing so perfectly realistic lighting and reflections at 8K resolution without dropping frames.
That is massive for gaming.
It is. The architecture also allows the console to run local large language models, up to 7 billion parameters directly on the device. Non-playable characters are no longer reading from a rigid script tree. They are highly reactive entities that remember past interactions and adjust their dialogue dynamically.
This shift from mathematical computations to neural inference is just crazy. Okay, so we have living digital worlds in our living rooms and autonomous agents running our phones. But here is the catch.
What's that?
None of this works if you drive into a tunnel or go hiking off the grid. For this entire matrix to function flawlessly for you everywhere you go, we need a fundamentally new way to stay connected. We need an invisible canopy.
Which brings us to Starlink's Direct-to-Cell V3. The recent successful tests of this technology, which Elon Musk actually tweeted about, caused an immediate and sheer drop in the stock prices of major global telcos like AT&T, Vodafone, and T-Mobile.
Wow, just tanked them.
Yes. Market analysts and investors clearly view this infrastructure as a severe disruption to traditional telecommunications. We are seeing a major market reaction.
And it makes sense when you look at the specs. We are talking about 1 gigabit per second satellite internet streaming directly to a standard 5G smartphone.
Right. No dish required.
Exactly. Not a bulky satellite phone with a giant antenna. The normal phone in your pocket. But mechanically, how is that even possible? I mean, you are standing on Earth holding a phone trying to hit a target in low Earth orbit that is moving at 27,000 kilometers per hour. That is literally like trying to hit a bullet with another bullet while blindfolded.
It requires overcoming incredible engineering hurdles, no doubt. Starlink uses phased array antennas in space, which basically act as moving cell towers. But the phone in your pocket uses a technique called beamforming.
Right. So instead of your phone shouting a radio signal in every direction like a shotgun blast, hoping a tower hears it, beamforming acts like a sniper rifle. It shoots a highly concentrated laser of data directly at that moving satellite.
Precisely. But the true obstacle has always been the Doppler shift. Because the satellite is moving so incredibly fast, the radio frequencies distort.
Like the siren effect.
Exactly. Think of a police car speeding past you on the highway. The pitch of the siren changes as it approaches and then speeds away. The same thing happens to radio waves. The signal should theoretically be completely garbled.
So how do they fix the pitch of the data?
SpaceX placed dedicated AI chips into the heart of the satellites. These chips predict and neutralize that frequency distortion in real time. They adjust for the Doppler shift on the fly, resulting in a seamless connection with a ping under 20 milliseconds.
Under 20 milliseconds from space, that's better than some home Wi-Fi.
It is. The implications are profound. It means the eradication of dead zones. Whether you are in downtown Tokyo or the middle of the Sahara Desert, you are covered in a blanket of gigabit beta.
Which completely changes the game for infrastructure.
Economically, yes. It challenges the necessity of billion-dollar terrestrial cables and cell towers, and it offers a direct alternative to government-run, ground-based information monopolies.
So with omnipresent gigabit connectivity and neural processing everywhere, AI can now operate flawlessly anywhere on Earth. And that brings us to the most jarring physical manifestation of this tech AI stepping out of our screens and into physical bodies. Let's go back to that dark factory we talked about at the very beginning of this deep dive.
Ray, Figure AI has deployed 5,000 of their Figure 03 humanoid robots at BMW's central manufacturing plant in Munich. And looking at the broader socioeconomic landscape in our sources, this deployment has sparked major strikes from European labor unions.
Which makes sense. It's a huge disruption.
It is. The core of the tension is a clash of models. Corporations are moving toward this hyper-efficient automation, while the workforce views this rapid deployment as a direct threat to economic security. Human labor is essentially being viewed as an economic bug in this new hyper-efficient model.
But to understand why this is happening now and not 10 years ago, we have to look at the tech. Factories have used robots for decades. What makes Figure 03 so different from those giant Kiki-A robotic arms you see welding car frames in old footage?
Well, those traditional robots are functionally blind and rigid. They are programmed with precise X, Y, and Z coordinates. They repeat the exact same motion endlessly.
Right.
So if a car chassis on the assembly line is misaligned by even 2 millimeters, the traditional robot will just crash into it or fail, halting the entire production line. But Figure 03 operates on an end-to-end AI architecture powered by vision language action models.
Meaning what exactly?
Meaning the prompt engineers, or the floor foremen, aren't sitting at a terminal writing Python code to fix the robot's coordinates. They are literally just talking to it.
That's wild. They just tell it what to do.
Yes, they say pick up the front door panel, straighten out any bent pins, and screw it onto the chassis without scratching the paint.
So the later force is shifting from programming coordinates to managing biomechanical intent.
That's the paradigm shift, exactly. These robots use stereo cameras and nanotactile sensors in their five-fingered hands to physically understand the environment. They understand the weight and friction of the parts in real time and adapt on the fly if a screw is dropped or a panel is slightly skewed.
And that brings us back to the eeriness of the dark factory. Yep. Imagine walking into that massive manufacturing plant. It is freezing cold. The lights are off because the robots don't need them to see.
They work perfectly in the dark.
Right. It is utterly silent, except for the whir of electric motors, and cars are being built perfectly, 2047. But here is the thing that ties all of this together.
For power requirements.
Exactly. Running a massive factory full of biomechanical workers, or powering a phone that is constantly generating custom UIs and beaming data to a satellite moving at orbital speeds, you have a massive energy problem. The technological matrix is thirsty, and traditional liquid lithium-ion batteries just aren't cutting it anymore.
They aren't. For over a decade, we have been constrained by the chemical limitations of those liquid lithium-ion batteries.
Yeah.
In a traditional battery, the ions travel back and forth through a liquid electrolyte.
Right.
The problem is that liquid is highly flammable. And over time, as you charge and discharge the battery, it forms these tiny needle-like structures called dendrites.
Okay, let's break that down. So if the liquid battery is like a crowded nightclub with one exit, or, say, a pool of water, these dendrites are like spiky weeds growing through the water.
Right, exactly.
And eventually those weeds grow long enough to puncture the barrier separating the positive and negative sides, right?
Yes, and when they puncture that barrier, you get a short circuit, thermal runaway, and an uncontrollable fire. It's a disaster.
Which is why we can't push them too hard.
Exactly. But Toyota and Panasonic have just launched mass production of solid-state batteries. They completely removed the dangerous liquid and replaced it with a sulfide-based solid electrolyte.
So following the analogy, Toyota essentially drained the water from the pool and replaced it with concrete. The microscopic pores in the solid material still allow the power to flow freely. But those deadly weeds, the dendrites, physically cannot grow through solid rock.
That's spot on. There is zero fire risk. And that physical mechanism is what changes everything. Because you don't have to worry about the heat and the dendrites, you can pack the internal cells much closer together.
Oh, so you get more energy in the same space.
A lot more. The energy density increases by 2.5 times, pushing past 600 watt-hours per kilogram. For you, the listener, the impact is immediate. It means an electric vehicle with the same physical battery footprint as today can now easily exceed 1,000 kilometers on a single charge.
That's massive. But what about charging it? Because right now, sitting at a supercharger for 45 minutes is a huge pain point.
Well, because the solid electrolyte is so incredibly resistant to heat, you can pump megawatt-level power into it without it melting. You can charge an EV from 10% to 80% in under 5 minutes.
Wait, really? That is exactly the same amount of time it takes to pump a tank of gas.
Which is why automotive analysts view this as the threshold that makes internal combustion engines obsolete. It completely eliminates charge anxiety.
Wow.
And this chemistry is scaling down, too. Apple and Samsung are confirming these solid-state batteries for their 2027 flagship phones.
No way.
Yeah. We are looking at devices that are half the thickness of current phones, requiring a charge perhaps once a week, with virtually zero battery degradation, even after 500 cycles.
That is just incredible. So let's take a step back and look at the sheer scale of what we've covered today. Our data centers are now communicating via microscopic lasers at the speed of light, erasing the heat problem.
Right.
And because of that infinite processing, our operating systems have killed the app, opting for autonomous agents that execute our intent. Our living rooms are rendering dynamic, unscripted realities using neural physics instead of rigid math.
It's a complete ecosystem shift.
It is. The sky is now an invisible canopy of gigabit data, tracking our phones through space. Biomechanical workers are silently building our vehicles in dark factories using natural language. And the anxiety of the battery icon flashing red is completely erased by solid-state chemistry. The matrix of technology isn't just getting an upgrade, it has leaped exponentially.
It is a total transformation of our physical and digital environment. But this raises an important question to consider, something that connects all of these sources.
What's that?
Well, if our technology is no longer a set of static tools that we must learn to operate, but rather an omnipresent, adapting ecosystem that perfectly anticipates our needs and physically maps our reality, what happens to human intuition?
Oh, that's heavy.
When the machine can seamlessly predict your intent and execute it flawlessly across both digital and physical realms, do our own cognitive muscles, our navigation skills, our problem-solving abilities begin to atrophy? Or, freed from the friction of interfaces and dead batteries, do we finally get the time to focus entirely on what makes us uniquely human?
That is a brilliant question to leave you with. Think about that the next time you tried to juggle 5 apps just to plan a dinner or wait for your phone to charge. When you wake up tomorrow and look at your devices, just remember the fundamental rules have already changed. We are navigating a totally new matrix. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, and we'll see you next time.